home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, and Cougars is right here on The Zone. This is JJ and Alex, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
The show goes on, rolling into the 4 o'clock hour. JJ and Alex, Jeremiah Jensen, Stevenson Sylvester in for Alex Curie. You just threw your hands up in the air.
The Clark effect. That's a big jump.
Isn't that crazy?
That's 200 plus percent.
So for you listening right now, you're like, what are you guys talking about? The ESPN has a graphic up, which is really fascinating. The Indiana Fever average ticket price went up from like, what was it?
$60.
$60 to $140.
$170.
That's the WNBA. I mean, that's a massive difference.
That's huge.
Wait till the TV ratings come out for her first game. And if she has the type of games in the WNBA that she did in college.
Other WNBA players cannot hate. They have to.
She's going to become much must-watch TV. And their ratings are going to go nuts. And the league is going to make some money that they haven't made before.
And that's good. That's what they've always wanted.
You gotta appreciate. Absolutely,
gotta appreciate. No hate. You gotta appreciate
the Caitlin Clark effect. Man, the Jazz could use a player with the impact of Caitlin Clark, and that's what they're searching for, seeking. As Danny Ainge said yesterday, the Jazz would like to go big game hunting, and we will see if that happens in the offseason. By the way, Jazz fans, David Locke will join us in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll get to ask him about that as we begin to talk about the Jazz offseason, and we'll also hit him up about the NBA playoffs. For now, I want to tell you that there is an incredible selection on Kia, Subaru, Chevy, Jeep, Dodge, or Ram. You can check it out by visiting Doug Smith Dealerships in American Fork and Spanish Fork. Great service starts with know-how, and nobody knows how, like Doug. Hey, Doug. So we move on into the Jazz offseason. And the Jazz had their end-of-season player interviews, and that is the cut at 4 o'clock.
It's time for the biggest story of the day. This is What Made the Cut with JJ and Alex on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
By the way, Sly, thanks for not making fun of my Hey Doug there.
It was good. I was giving my internal review before I said anything.
Yeah, the pro will be back on Monday, so I can retire my vocal cords for a while.
We'll just have Jeremy just record it, and then we can
don't play mine ever again. you can play I'm an Idiot. Don't play that.
Oh, man.
I am an idiot. Thank you. Oh, so true. Oh boy, Jazz player grades and Jazz player off season, end of season interviews. It's over. It's done. The reality seeks in that this team is finished for the season. And it's kind of nice that they are, because I got tired. We all knew what was going on, Sly.
Right,
they have nothing to play for here. They're trying to make sure they keep that first-round draft pick. But it was just so hard to talk about the Jazz in their current state, going through one loss after another, starting three rookies, because this is not the real story. The real story starts now. The real story for the Utah Jazz starts right now. It started yesterday as Danny Ainge took a podium and addressed the media for 40 minutes about what's going to happen this offseason, or what they would like to have happen this offseason. Now they can start the building process once again. Now the fun begins for Danny Ainge and Justin Zanuck to try to build something here, build on what they already have. We have no idea what opportunities are going to present themselves. We probably won't know that until the playoffs are over, because like we talked about in the first segment with the Warriors, it's time to blow that thing up.
Right.
Will the Warriors have the courage to do it? I don't think so, but they might. And the right thing to do would be to do so. So there's more star players that are jarred loose, although I don't think the Jazz would have any. No, obviously, the Jazz would have massive interest in Steph. It's not going to happen. But there's veteran players. That's how you – it's going to be not a 36-year-old. That doesn't make sense. But there's going to be other teams. Maybe it's the Hawks. Maybe it's the Sixers. I don't know, where a player could become available because a team is turning in another direction, because they're clearly not progressing in the playoffs. The playoffs will be the test. That was what happened for the Utah Jazz. That first-round playoff series loss to the Dallas Mavericks was the sure sign that it was time to move on, because there was no way. The Mavericks were better. And they don't even have Jalen Brunson anymore.
Well, I mean,
and they're still
Luka wasn't even really playing the first game, right?
Jalen Brunson was the star of that series. And guess what? Just, what have we learned since then?
He's a star.
He's a dude.
Yeah.
He's the one of those guys you can build around that can be a franchise face.
He'd be a guy you'd want to try to pick
exactly.
up.
Exactly. Yeah. And these things happen. The guys emerge. Some playoff hero comes. We don't know. Things can happen here in the next couple months. We have no idea how to decide what that is. So things can happen. But for the players currently on the roster.
Can we revisit what we talked about? Was it a week or two ago? About who that guy is?
Yeah.
Your guy was LaMelo, right?
I threw him out there because that's a player on a team that's bad, that needs more than just one player, and it's not working out for player or team. To maybe a wild card, if he's healthy, could be a massive, massive change for you
addition.
In that direction.
He's a playmaker.
If healthy.
Right.
But I get it's a question mark. That was my guy.
Yeah. I think my guy was Cam Thomas from the Nets.
Yes. Six-three guard.
Or Mikal Bridges.
Yeah. Mikal Bridges would be really fascinating. Mikal's one of those players that's not your number one.
He can be, though. That's what I'm saying. Jalen Brunson wasn't your number one.
Contender?
Jalen Brunson wasn't your number one.
Jalen Brunson's a guy that has the ball in his hands all the time. And Mikal's, that's not really his game. I would see him as more of a compliment. Mikal could be a key player on a championship team. We saw him with the Suns. He was one of their guys to help him get to the finals.
But his offensive prowess didn't take over until I seen him in Brooklyn.
Right.
So I'm just like.
But because the opportunity was there.
Right.
Do you want him being your lead guy? Where did Brooklyn go with Mikal Bridges being the best player on that team?
Well, Brooklyn was trying to figure out what they're doing with freaking Ben Simmons.
They didn't even make the play-in.
Right.
Ben Simmons. I mean, come on.
That guy.
That's a weird story. But anyway, back to the Jazz. It's like, you know, there's a lot of opportunity here for this franchise to get better. But there's also internal opportunity. Let's hear first. And I think one of the guys we're curious about is Walker Kessler. Let's hear about Walker Kessler from Will Hardy. Here's a 44-second cut on his trajectory.
Walker needs to play as much as possible. There's nothing that will substitute from getting live game reps. I think it's an opportunity for him to continue to hone his craft on both ends of the floor. His season was okay, obviously had some injuries to start. I think if you had told me when we traded for Walker 2 years ago that this is the point in the map that he would be at 2 years in, I would have been happy. But he probably overachieved in his first year, and then this year, you know, he felt like he didn't play his best. I like where Walker is at in terms of, you know, his progress over the first 2 years of his career. Now it's about attacking this summer and doing a lot of work on his body, continuing to hone himself on the offensive end. And, you know, for all of Walker's good moments defensively, he can still get so much better.
He's absolutely right. I think Walker Kessler dramatically overperformed his rookie year and took everybody by storm. And then everybody knew about him this year and it was different and he had to work through some things. But he's still very, very young, and I think he's still a key piece. You're going to start to see – it's not going to be like it was back in the 80s and 90s where your big man is your offensive focal point. But you're seeing some bigs that are going to be coming into the league, like a Donovan Clingan and a Zach Edey, who I don't think are going to be stars, but I think they're going to be factors. I think you're going to have bigs in the NBA that are skilled with multiple skills, not necessarily your go-to offensive guy. I mean, Joel Embiid is that for the Sixers, but he's a very unique big because he can shoot the three. He can do all. He's like Jokic, right? You have a big that can shoot the three, that can pass, that can
take
dominate the rim, that can take over a game offensively.
Play
Walker
three
Kessler,
levels of basketball. Big that can play three
exactly,
levels.
Exactly, yeah. That's why those guys are superstars.
Right.
You don't see any more centers that are in that level except for those guys because they have that skill set where they can score at all three levels. Walker Kessler is never going to be that guy, but he can be a dominant force on the boards and protecting the rim, and we saw how important Rudy Gobert was. Similar thing with Walker Kessler, and you're going to start seeing more bigs coming into the league like him. And so I do think that he's got still a long way to go, and I think he's going to be in this league for a long time, and hopefully it's with the Utah Jazz, but he's going to play summer league this year. As a second-year player, a lot of second-year players don't want to play summer league. They want to go to Cabo. And sometimes it's thinking, if you're a second year player and you got to go back to summer league as well, and I hope that nobody looks at it that way, but Walker Kessler, he knows it's going to take time to improve, and he's ready to do that this summer at Summer League.
I learned that I need to give myself a lot of grace, and I did a lot better at that towards the end of the year in understanding that the path that I want to get to is be, you know, the best possible player I can be is not going to be just a straight, you know, going up. And understanding that, not to be discouraged by, you know, difficult times or times where I don't see where, like, I'm supposed to get what I'm, you know, supposed to get.
I think that's a really important thing for Walker Kessler to understand, and he gets it. And I think that the Will Hardy has done a great job coaching him with that is, you know, he does have to be more patient with his development because it did come fast his rookie year. He did really enjoy a lot of success his rookie year that was maybe a little too early and allowed him maybe to get a little overconfident because the league knew about him after his rookie year, and they definitely knew about him this year. So there was a difference. Keontae George, I think that there was some ups and downs with Keontae, but overall you have to be really pleased with his rookie season, Sly. Mm-hmm. I think he proved a lot of things. He had a rough stretch shooting, and then he really started to shoot the ball well at the end of the season. Turnovers, obviously an issue. And then the looming question, and Danny Ainge talked about this yesterday, is he a franchise point guard? I think he's a great player.
Mm-hmm.
All-star potential, too perhaps.
Soon, too soon to tell, for sure.
Is he a franchise point guard? That's too early to say. But the Jazz are certainly going to try to develop him into that and give him that opportunity. Here's what he said about his offseason goals.
As far as my, you know, skill set and everything, you know, you always add moves and make your handle sharper. I mean, I just want to get an elite level handle, be consistent throughout the whole season, be that guy to where people, you leave me up, you know, it's good. So main thing for me this summer is just being in shape, getting stronger. You know, everything else, you know, will follow.
There you go.
That's the thing about basketball is I think with commitment and investment from the player, there can be strides made from year to year. And so if
just mentioned Jalen Brunson, not to cut you off, but Jalen, right, Brunson's that player. He was obviously we knew he was a star at Villanova in college.
Yeah.
National champion. But he's 6'1", 6'2" guard.
Right.
In today's NBA with all these wings that
can
are 6'6".
Can he do what he did in college in the pros?
I mean, even Steph Curry, 6'4".
Right.
Like, it's really hard at 6'1", 6'2" to dominate an NBA basketball game. So Jalen Brunson was a late first-round draft pick. He was late first, not a second round. Was he a second round pick?
I think he was second.
I'll look that up real quick because I'm
But
I
now, now
mistaken.
Jalen Brunson's getting MVP chance in the Garden. That doesn't happen, folks.
He's 6'2". It's crazy. So we go back. No, he was a second round pick. You're absolutely right. I thought late first. He's a second round pick. He was the third pick of the second round in the 2018 NBA draft, 33rd overall, and now he is the toast of Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
He's the face of the Knicks, 6'1", 6'2", point guard.
Just fearless.
And, yeah, but that didn't happen overnight. That took time.
Yeah.
And that took a lot of work, and he was, fortunately for him, we talk about it all the time, in a good organization.
Mm-hmm.
With a really good coaching staff.
Oh, it's good that your father's on the staff.
Well,
that
yes.
helps. That helps.
Yeah, and it helps you had an NBA dad. There's
Growing
no doubt
up,
about
yes,
that.
Yes, yes.
But he had
sure.
to work. There's a great video out there where Jalen Brunson's mom shot video of his dad working with him.
I remember that video.
And
that
he's
was a good
got
one.
He's got bad body language, and he's tired, and he's frustrated. It doesn't look like he's having fun playing basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And that really went viral and was circulating around because you see the process that's required. A kid at that age that's struggling and not having fun because the ball won't go in the dang hoop.
Right.
All that work, all those years, he becomes an NBA star. Those players can be out there. There's Jalen Brunson's out there. There's Jimmy Butler's out there.
Yeah.
That could be the face of your franchise. And imagine the Jazz with a Jimmy Butler-type player right now.
Whew.
And you pair that Jimmy Butler-type player with a Lowry Marketing, and you're in business.
Instant.
Talk about big game hunting.
Instantly.
I'm not saying they go after Jimmy Butler, but that's the kind of player you're looking for.
Right.
And Jimmy Butler was a late first-round draft pick. Nobody knew what he was going to be, and it took a while.
Mm-hmm.
And he was an older player when he finally got better. You don't know. So these things can happen out there. Now, everyone wants that number one overall pick. They want the Wembanyama. They want LeBron James. And sure, those happen, but those don't happen every year. So good front office work, great scouting, all those things can make a big difference. And so the Jazz are going to have to do that work. Because what they really want to do, this is my opinion, what the Jazz really want to do is they want to keep Lauri Markkanen long term. There's a reason why Ryan Smith had Lauri Markkanen's picture on a big giant screen on that rendering he had of the new NHL/NBA arena he'd like to build in downtown Salt Lake City. Okay, the Jazz love Lauri Markkanen. They want to keep him. Danny Ainge was asked about his contract situation yesterday. He wasn't going to comment on it, but then he went on to say, we love Lauri Markkanen.
Right.
We're not dumb. They would love to build this around him. They got to find that player. But what will help in that process is Lauri getting better.
Yes.
And that's still possible. And Lauri talked about his improvement and what he can do to get better to help the Jazz get closer to their goals.
Well, we'll see how the things go, but look at this whole situation. It's just a way for myself to get better. And one way to affect that is just to get so much better and work on your game that speed things up. And the better I'm playing, the better our team is playing, obviously. It's going to speed up the process, push the young guys, and really get in the gym this summer and work on these things. And so that's my part of the job, to fast forward this thing.
If you could pair a guard with Lauri Markkanen, a playmaking guard or a playmaking wing that drops 20 a night, 25 a night, preferably closer to 30 a night, that's a superstar level score, and you pair him with Lauri Markkanen, a guy that could be an all-star player, that's what the Jazz are seeking. That's what they want. When Danny Ainge talks about big game hunting, he's talking about going out and getting that alpha dog player. Like I mentioned the Jalen Brunsons, the Jimmy Butlers. It doesn't have to be LeBron. It doesn't have to be, you know, whoever. They got to go out and get that guy. They got to find a way to get him. Is it through the draft? Probably, most likely, but then that requires a lot of patience.
Yeah, that's not hunting.
That is not hunting. Well, it's developing. You're right. Hunting is going out and getting your – if you're going hunting,
Cam Thomas.
Looking for that big buck.
Cam Thomas.
You're looking for that trophy buck.
I'm trying to tell you, Cam Thomas. He'll be in his fourth year.
You said, maybe it literally would be a buck with Damian Lillard.
Hey.
I don't think that's going to happen.
But you said it yesterday, right? Dame's, you know, he's older.
Yeah, he's going right? By the time he's making $50 million a year, he's going to be 37 years old. That's a contract you probably don't want.
I know, and that's not Danny Ainge. That doesn't sound like a Danny Ainge type thing.
It's not. That's why it's not going to happen.
Cam Thomas is. Ended the first round in 2021. He's only 3 years down. He's averaging 23 points a game.
Let me throw something out there with that. And I don't know. Have no idea how Danny and the Jazz feel about Cam.
I'm trying to sell. It's my Cam Thomas campaign, by the way.
Well, it's a guy that's interesting, who's one of those 6'3 guards that can score.
Yeah.
There's another
ferocious
6'3 guard that can score that I think the Nets would have a lot of interest in the next summer when he becomes an unrestricted free agent, and that is Donovan Mitchell, a player that wants to be in New York.
Yeah.
Perhaps the Nets would be willing to part with one Cam Thomas, believing they're going to get Donovan Mitchell, either by trade or through free agency. That, again, is an example. I'm just sharing that. We're just hypothetically speaking here. That's an example of how that player becomes available. One team has a different idea of what they're chasing, and there's things that are going on behind the scenes, and all of a sudden a player becomes available that you didn't know was available, and you're like, okay, this is a guy that could be...
That's what Danny said,
be a Jalen Brunson. He could be a Jimmy Butler-type player, who a guy that's kind of under the... Not in the limelight, not a guy that's maybe a little in the shadows that people don't pay attention to, but can drop 30 a night. Maybe that player's out there. Maybe that's a situation. But I'm telling you, they want to build around Lauri. Makes total sense. And if they can go get that guy with all the draft picks they have and the young players currently on the roster, because you got to factor in Taylor Hendricks showed some things. That's the kind of wing you want to have. He's going to be an outstanding defender, and his ability to shoot the three is really intriguing. And you've got a Keontae George. I love Colin Sexton.
Yeah.
Is Colin Sexton that guy you pair with Lauri? I don't know. They have that already.
Yeah.
So maybe that's not the answer.
Yeah.
Maybe they want it. Maybe they like that. Maybe they like Colin in a different role. I don't know. These are the questions that they're going to have to answer. But all of this, Sly, the whole point of bringing this all together that we're talking about right now is I do feel like the Jazz are closer than we think. the feeling that, oh my gosh, this is going to take 5 years, this is going to take forever. Are the Jazz going to tank in 2024 so they can get Cooper Flagg? I don't think so. I don't think so. And Danny made that point yesterday, and I think if you listened to Danny Ainge yesterday, we played that on the show at 5 o'clock. You can go back to KSLSports.com in our podcast section, and you can listen to his entire 40 minutes. He said, we don't want to do that because then we're taking another step back. You're going one step forward, three steps back. Because if you trade Lowry and you just give up on the veteran players you do have currently on this roster, and you go even younger and you go tank for the 2025, yeah, I guess you're putting yourself on the sweepstakes for what we think is a really, really special player. You don't know that he's a special player. Right. It's not a Wembanyama situation.
And you don't even know he's going to come out in that year.
That is very fair, too. He hasn't announced and declared. We just assume.
And now you're even more years.
So you tank for a kid that decides that they loved college and they want to stay
and
one more year.
They got a lot
of
money in college.
Maybe they got close to a national championship and they want to make one more run. We don't know.
Right.
You're dealing with I don't knows. You'd rather deal with the certain
sure
thing.
Sure thing, yeah.
And I think if you're listening right now and you're a Jazz fan, like, you want to do last year again?
No.
Hell no.
I'm not even a Jazz fan, and that was brutal.
50 lost seasons aren't fun. That wasn't interesting. It just wasn't. You want to see this team take another step in the offseason. It looks like Danny Ainge is ready and prepared to do that, but you can't force that. You have to be patient with that, but there could be some opportunities there, and I don't think anybody knows the landscape in the NBA better, and Danny Ainge has done it. He did it twice in Boston. Under completely different circumstances. One was flipping the young roster for the veteran stars and winning a title. The other one was fleecing another team by, when those players got old, shipping them out of town and bringing in the draft picks that turned into Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum.
Yeah, right.
Right? And he talked about it yesterday, how in 2007, they were tanking for Kevin Durant.
And that didn't work out.
They didn't win the lottery.
Right.
So what'd they do? Okay. Well, I guess we're going to go get old. We're going to go get stars. So they flip their young assets, and all of a sudden, they've got KG and Ray Allen to join with Paul Pierce. Instead of bailing on Paul Pierce, he was on the roster. Suddenly, you rebuilt that quick. Can't you do the same thing with this Jazz roster,
and
with a Lowry Marketing and a Colin Sexton?
And you won a
championship. They won a title, which is what we've been starving for here forever.
A great title, too, yeah.
Things can happen quickly in the NBA. Most important thing is to not panic and not do stupid things, and to the Jazz credit, they haven't done that yet.
Right.
So let's see what Danny Ainge does this offseason. I think very much Lowry Markkanen is definitely part of the long-term plan. I think that Colin Sexton should be part of the long-term plan. You combine that with the young players you have on this roster, the assets you have, and you can get better quickly. Let's see what they do this offseason.
Come on, Uncle Danny.
Make it happen. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, NHL to Utah, an update. Coyotes' final game in Arizona tonight, and there's still more rumblings about what's happening, what's taking place, including a little snippet from potential owner Ryan Smith. We'll have that and more next. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
And now, a look at traffic from the...
Enjoy the day. Everything soaking in. I think it's we need to, enjoy the present, and that will be an unbelievable day. We want to make it unbelievable by our performance, and make sure nobody ever forget. And that's what's that will be all about. I think tomorrow we'll talk about what the meaning and all of it and everything. But for tonight, it will be unwise for us to focus on tomorrow. I think. Focus on tomorrow. We will not play the game we have to play to make sure our fans have what they deserve and a performance from our team.
That is Arizona Coyotes head coach Andre Tourney as the Coyotes get ready to play their final game in Arizona tonight against the Edmonton Oilers. They'll drop the puck at 8 p.m. Mountain Time, 7 p.m. Mountain Time. I should say Mountain Standard Time, Mountain Daylight Time. Mountain Standard Time is 7 p.m. in Arizona tonight. So 8 p.m. here. If you're interested in watching the game tonight, I think you should be watching with a lot of interest tonight. I don't know how many of their key players are playing because the team's out of the playoffs. It's their final game. But the fact that it's their final game in Arizona, I imagine they'll be a full strength. And it would be interesting to watch those teams. And it's an opportunity for you to start to get to know some of these names that will be coming to town this week. It's an interesting night for sure. And I think there's a lot more news that could come down at any moment now. We'll wait for that to happen. But it's coming. That news is definitely coming. Before we dig into some of the news on the NHL coming to Utah, I want to mention that and throw out this for all you golfers out there, not to miss the Uinta Multi-Vendor Demo Day. It's happening this Saturday at Mulligan's Golf and Games. This is your chance to try out the new releases from all the major golf manufacturers and register to win free prizes. It's happening this Saturday at Mulligan's Golf and Games. Uinta Golf, unmatched service, unmatched expertise. And also a shout out to our friends at Trajan Wealth. Give Trajan Wealth a call today, your local financial fiduciary, 801-899-7600, or visit their website at trajanwealth.com. So you heard that from their head coach. This is a tough deal for these players because the management, their owner let them down. The people that run the franchise let them down. They didn't get things done. They didn't handle things the way they should have. They weren't willing to pay the money in building a roster that would allow this team to win at a high enough rate to get the community involved and backing it up. There's certainly a good, solid fan base down there, but obviously if you're struggling to fill a 4,800-seat arena, it's not good enough for the NHL. So, you feel for the players because they're going to have to sell their homes. And we talked about this last week. It's just like you're going to have to give up a lot of things. There's people who have kids in Arizona that are – you know, maybe they're divorced or they have, you know, Coach Turney talked about this. There's a lot of things that really impact a lot of people with this. It's hard. I don't think anybody can argue that this is the right decision and this is where it went. And the NHL had no choice but to do this.
Right.
Ryan Smith is just, he was seeking a franchise and they presented him this opportunity and he's taking it. But I think he would have preferred to take an expansion team, but here is the opportunity and they're going to bring NHL hockey here and it's exciting. But tonight's going to be tough for some of these players. Josh Doan's one of those players. His dad played for the Coyotes, and he grew up in this area. Like, this is home for him. And now he's going to have to play somewhere else in the future. And at Morning Skate today, he talked about the situation and what tonight's going to be like for him.
I think it's just a thank you to them for everything that they've done for us. And obviously, it's something that there's a lot of disappointed people out there. And people that are upset, and it's going to hurt, and it's going to sting for a while, and that's something that as a player, it's you want to feel apologetic for everything, but as someone who's grown up in the valley and grown up with it, you kind of feel the pain as well. But I think it's something where tonight you just focus on the game, enjoy one last game, and then who knows what's going to happen down the road, but. But for now, the Coyotes are still Arizona's team for one more day, so just kind of embrace it.
There you go. We also went on to say it's just hard to move away from home. That's the whole moral of the story. So it's tough. But when the move happens and they arrive here, I hope everybody here welcomes these players to town, these coaches, the staff, everybody.
Sure.
And they understand how badly we want them here. And how much we're ready to embrace them, because I think they feel kind of, that's a tough situation. It's hard to feel sympathy for or to have empathy sometimes for these pro athletes because we feel like they make all this money. Oh, look at them. They get it, whatever they want. They're famous and all this and that. Like, they're real people. Like, Josh Doan's a young kid that grew up there and he's going to have to leave home. And that can be hard. So hopefully they feel welcome here, and it softens the blow a bit. I think that's going to be really important. Tonight will also be a big night for Aku Ratu, who is making his NHL debut in a rather unique circumstances, but he's focused just on his debut and not all the other stuff.
I would say I'm like a Swiss Army knife type of player. I can play first line, fourth line, like any type of role. I would say I'm a pretty good skater. I'm pretty good in forecheck, like 200-foot player.
There you go. So another young.
It's a lot of NHL educating I need to go on. I'm like, what's first line? What's second line?
Yeah. We're all doing it. We're all gonna do it. You know, there's plenty of us that, you know, I've covered the Grizzlies. I know I've followed hockey. It's not going to be too foreign to me. But Sly, I'm glad you bring up that point, because there's a lot of people in our community that aren't, and that's okay. Like, this is an opportunity to learn about it and watch it and see it at its highest level, and you're going to fall in love with it. You're going to embrace it. It's going to be fun. It's a great game, and at the highest level, NHL hockey is just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And then when it gets to this time of year and you start the Stanley Cup playoffs, that's a whole different ball game.
It's like very exciting. I think it's as equivalent as the MLB playoff race.
Yeah.
The MLB playoff race is very, very exciting.
Yeah.
I think the NHL is on that same level. And love that it's here in spring, too. I think NHL people are going to absolutely love it around here.
Yeah, a few more notes on this. 80 media credential requests tonight were granted for the final Valley game of Coyotes 1.0, including...
Something going on?
KSL Sports. Sam Farnsworth's down there with our producer, Matt Glade. He'll be live at 6 and 10 tonight from Phoenix, from Mullet Arena. Kyle Ireland on our KSLSports.com staff is going to be writing about it. We're all in here at KSL Sports. We are all in on this, including tonight. So we'll have coverage of that tonight at 6 and 10 and on KSLSports.com. And this is an interesting thing, is Ryan Smith was at a conference today. It's the SBJ, so it's the Sports Business Journal conference that they have. The world, there's a name for it. Anyway, that's not important. he's being interviewed. He's speaking. He's up on the stage. And somebody asked him about the situation. And there's not a lot he could say, but he did say this, quote, "There's no secret. Not everything on the internet is true, but in this case, it's true." That's the first real public statement we've heard from Ryan Smith on this whole thing.
I just wanted to hear him say that, because we're reading all this, we're hearing from Ryan, this and that, and I could just, like, every comment, it's like there's an underlying excitement.
Yeah.
There for him. And I just want to kind of hear his excitement as he's saying stuff like this.
"There's no secret on what's out there online. Normally not everything on the internet is true, but in this case, it's pretty true." It is. The Coyotes are coming here. Tonight's their last game in Arizona, and we look forward to that. John Gambadoro, John Gambadoro, who's been in Arizona for 27 years on Sports Talk Radio at our sister station, Arizona Sports, 98.7 in Phoenix. He's been breaking news on this story. He's been right every time. So he reports today that the Coyotes management was addressing the staff for the first time as we speak about the future of the team. And then he tweets back 10 minutes later, "They canceled it 10 minutes before it was supposed to start and rescheduled for tomorrow. You can't make this stuff up." That's terrible. And then you wonder why this management has had problems getting stuff done.
Right.
Look, I feel bad for Coyotes fans. I feel bad for the players and staff. They were let down by bad management. The good news is there's going to be new management in town. You know that restaurant you go to that's really bad? And you're like, "I'm never going back there again." And you drive by there like a year later and you see that sign says, "New management."
Right.
Okay. The Coyotes are getting new management. And everything's going to be different for these players, the coaches, the staff. The general manager is going to have money to spend.
Right.
The players are going to have...
There will be new excitement that these guys can adjust to.
The players are going to be playing in a big sold-out arena here at Delta Center, and eventually they're going to be playing in a state-of-the-art, brand-new, multi-purpose arena that houses the Jazz and the Coyotes. We believe that's where it's going. They're not going to be the Coyotes. Maybe I should say the Jazz and the Yetis. Too early for this. Everybody's pointing to Yetis. We'll see. But... it's happening, and new management is definitely in town. It's Ryan Smith, and he's going to take over this franchise, and he's going to make it special. And those guys are going to really enjoy this. Josh Doan, yeah, you're going to be an hour flight from Phoenix, but you're going to feel right at home here, and you're going to be part of something that has the potential to be special because you finally have the backing of a great ownership group that wants to win and is willing to spend to do so.
Yeah, I mean, I've actually taken like two or three trips down to Phoenix in the past month.
There you go.
And so, like, it's a really quick, really short flight. You can get to where you need to get to. You can get people in. And so this airport needs to schedule a couple more Arizona flights to accommodate the traffic coming back and forth from there. So, but yeah, I think, you know, especially when they get introduced to the Utah community, they're going to feel the love here. They're going to love what it comes here because I, along with all the other people that have came here, everybody has their ideas of Utah. But once you've come here, you've experienced here, you love it here. And I think the same thing will happen for all these guys.
No doubt about it. Coyotes last game in Arizona tonight. We'll have coverage at 6 and 10 on KSL TV. And you can follow all of this. No one's covered it better here in the market than KSLSports.com and our KSL Sports staff. You'll have the latest on that there as well as we cover the final game for the Coyotes in Arizona tonight. And there's potential that something could break tonight or tomorrow. We're waiting for that moment where it becomes official. It's imminent. So
I feel like the little girl on Despicable Me. I'm so excited. I get the quiz. So fluffy.
It's so fluffy. I'm going to die. The Yeti. So fluffy. I'm going to die.
Right.
Hold on to your butts.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be great. Have your schedules open for this announcement.
All right. That's the latest on the Coyotes coming to Utah. When we come back, we're going to take a short break, but when we come back, new BYU men's head basketball coach Kevin Young, he's going to be introduced to the Cougar Nation tonight. Before he does, he's got a pretty impressive endorsement. We'll play that endorsement coming up next on JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Ladies and gentlemen,
the biggest name. You're locked into JJ and Alex. With the insight and analysis on the teams you can't live without. Presented by G2G Bars. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
KYU. I'm excited for him and his family. Somebody that I developed a great relationship with. Somebody that I wish I could have played college basketball for or have somebody recruit me. I'm going to be keeping close eyes on their program and everything that he's doing. I know they're in really good hands. I know he got a good deal. You know, it's good to see, you know, him and his family taken care of.
That is Phoenix Suns superstar Devin Booker talking about the new head coach of BYU men's basketball, Kevin Young. Kevin Young will be introduced at a press conference tonight in the 7 o'clock hour at the Marriott Center. They're sure they're going to be playing Master of Puppets. That'll be his intro music as he walks out. Perfect music selection. But if you're a BYU fan, that's the kind of energy you should be feeling right now. You should be feeling Master of Puppets type energy because you got a dude. Like, I'm telling you, like, I didn't see this coming. I talked about it yesterday, and we talked about it yesterday, Sly. If you can get the highest paid assistant in the NBA to come coach your basketball team, You've found a good hire, right? Because obviously that's a very valuable person from the NBA. And it's not just that. Like, he's an X's and O's guy. He's like an offensive mastermind. And it's just a perfect fit for BYU. And when you have the endorsement of guys like Devin Booker,
Chris Paul, there's been a ton of endorsement from, like, a more than surprising. That's been one of the more overwhelming things for me. I'm just like, oh, this guy has built relationships with some of the stars, and for them to even say anything, like, at all about this is quite impressive. So, yes, this is a tremendous hire, one, because it's a surprise, right? Nobody thought this was possible.
Yeah.
But Uncle Danny's pulling some strings there, making some contacts down there in Utah County. I need him to stay up here in Salt Lake County.
Yeah.
But, you know, Uncle Danny's making things happen. And for a guy who didn't even look like he was possible to now going to BYU, or Devin Booker says, Kevin Young University.
KYU.
KYU.
Kevin Young University. Hey, if he wins an NCAA tournament game, and I'll go one step closer. If he could get BYU to Final Four, they will rename the school Kevin Young University. I guarantee you that. Officially or unofficially, I'm telling you. So let's hear more about what some big names have to say in that Suns organization. Let's start with James Jones, who played with LeBron James in Cleveland with the Cavaliers and is now the president of basketball operations for the Phoenix Suns and has helped build this roster. He talks about how much they're going to miss Kevin Young.
I'm so excited for him. We're so excited for him. But it's bittersweet. We spent a lot of time together. He's been instrumental in what we've built here in Phoenix. But it's an opportunity for him to show the world how great of a coach he is. And they're extremely fortunate to have him. I know we have been, but it's bittersweet. But we have unfinished business, and we'll close it out the right way and send him home with victories.
That's James Jones, president of basketball operations for the Suns, and obviously very complimentary. Coach Vogel said BYU is very lucky to have him. And then this is when takes the cake. This is where BYU fans get all crazy, is the fact that, I mean, Kevin was coaching Devin Booker and Kevin Durant, who's one of the all-time greats, and Bradley Beal and all the other guys on that roster. Like, these are the best players in the world, and Kevin Young has their ear. Kevin Young has their respect. And now Kevin Young is the head coach of BYU.
Right.
It's crazy. So it's really surreal to hear Devin Booker talk about the BYU men's basketball coach in this manner. But here he is talking about the basketball mind of Kevin Young.
It's a real one. Somebody that I pick his brain off. You know, we'll talk back and forth. We'll come in the next day and talk about a game that was on TV last night and, you know, what we would have did differently. And, you know, usually we end our conversations on the same exact page, or, you know, every idea that we present is usually the same. So it's a like-minded individual.
You know what, Sly? One of the best compliments you could pay somebody is by calling them a, quote, real one. So if you're in a, if you're somewhere where I'm not there and you're, and people ask you about me and you called me a real one, that's like an ultimate compliment,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, that really,
yeah. There's
that's not,
so
that's
many,
not a term you throw around
no,
loosely.
No, you don't. There's so many things that about a real one that comes into play. One, somebody you trust.
Yes.
One, somebody you admire,
yes,
appreciate. One, somebody you respect.
That's the most important word right there.
Right?
Boom.
And somebody you can always rely on. And I think that's exactly what everybody means when they're saying that. You know, especially when you can say, oh, he's a real one for sure. You know, so BYU is very fortunate because, one, my experience with him, you only want the best for, you know, somebody. So any decision they make, you want to support them. That's how you know you've got a lot of people, you know, on your side. You know, when you make a move and they have nothing but the best, wish you the best. They wish you were still with them. But they know that, you know, evolution is there. Everybody has to take that next step in life. And for this progression in Kevin Young's resume, his career, this is what it is. So this is absolutely awesome to know so many people think so highly of him.
Well, you'll hear from Coach Young tonight on the KSL 5 News at 10. His first appearance publicly as the head coach of BYU men's basketball. We got to take a quick break. Before that, we got to give away some tickets. Be caller number 12 at 801-575-ZONE to win a pair of tickets to Blue October at Utah First Credit Union Amphitheater on August 24th, 2024, later this summer. Again, caller number 12 at 801-575-ZONE wins that pair of tickets. We got to take a short break. When we come back, the voice of the Utah Jazz, David Locke, joins us live. We'll break down Danny Ainge's comments from yesterday and obviously talk about the Jazz moving forward and the Western Conference playoff race and the playoffs in general. I'd love to get his take on where the Warriors are right now. I'm sure it's going to be great. We'll get to that next. JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.